Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey guys, I've been telling you about how we are big fans of Tecovas boots. Heritage, tradition, quality, comfort, style, and service are some of the best features of Tecovas. But now they also have a gift for our listeners.
Tecovas will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps free with a minimum purchase of $100 at Tecovas.com.
Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's REALFRIENDS.
That's TECOVAS.com and point your toes west. Aloha, Zach Graff.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. Hello, friends. Hello, Donald. Hello, Daniel. Hello, Joel. What is that?
These are olives with garlic in them.
Ooh. Why would you bring those to our meeting?
Because it goes so good with this.
What is that?
This is a bourbon.
Oh, nice.
What are you sipping? Is that champagne?
Well, we're out of wine glasses, and I wanted to have a little Sancerre with you today, so I poured it into a champagne flute. I don't want you to think I'm drinking champagne. I'm not, Donald.
Well, this is a scotch glass, and I don't want you to think I'm drinking orange juice or something like that. This is actually scotch.
Yes, I see you. I see you. How are you? How's it going? The hair is looking good.
The hair is feeling good, too, man. You are looking good. You're looking all shaggy and everything. The head's looking all shaggy. Look like Han Solo in episode one.
There you go. Okay, well, that didn't take long to get us into that.
Well, not episode one. Episode four, I should say. Episode four.
I've shaved. My hair is long. My hair is long, but I'm freshly shaved and excited to see you guys. It's always nice to check in with our friend group here. And everyone listening, it's nice. I feel excited to be talking to all these fine people who are listening. Someone told me on one of the social media that we've actually helped them lose weight because they are listening to the podcast as they jog or power walk, whatever they're doing, and that as they go longer, they're increasing the distance they're going. And they said, like, I wanted to thank you guys because it gave me motivation.
Yeah, I read that too. That was pretty cool. It made me feel good, man. I don't know about you, but if we're entertaining you while you're working out right now, that makes me so happy. I don't know about Daniel and Joel, how that makes you guys feel, but for me, that's like one of those things, like, if I can distract you to the point where you don't feel the pain anymore.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
You know, I think it's a great feeling. And if you haven't done that yet, you know, you can take your dog on a walk with us. We're willing to go with you. Take us take us anywhere you go.
You could take us in the pool if you got the right headphones.
Yes, that's true. Don't electrocute yourself on our behalf. But it's nice. It was, in all seriousness, it was nice to hear that we were sort of indirectly aspiring someone to take care of themselves and do some cardio. I felt happy. I felt happy about that.
Made me feel good too. It was also nice to see the love that Shay got on the show last week.
Everybody loves Shay.
How do you not love Shay?
And he's just so smart and humble and kind. And I want to be real friends with Shay.
I would love to be real friends
with
Shay.
When the pandemic's over, I would like to, like, you know, hang out with Shay.
Maybe go to a restaurant, have a meal.
It's hard to make new guy friends when you're our age, right? You just kind of have your friends. But I feel like Daniel and Joelle are our new friends. I didn't mean to specifically say guys, but I mean, you know, like, oh, I run across someone like Shay and I think, you know, I would be real friends with this person. But what do? You go on like a man date? Like, hey, let's go on a man date and get a drink.
Yeah, but I don't know if it'd have to be called a man date. It just could be called a date. Let's go out. Let's go and do something.
I know, but don't you think it's a little weird to be like, hey, man, do you want to go on a man date? If you came, it wouldn't be weird. Then it'd be a threesome man date.
And then we're talking.
Yeah. Then she could go down.
Yeah, then it could happen.
I love it.
Oh, by the way, I meant to tell you that Florence's mother was kind enough to record her admonishing us for talking about our willies. And I've sent it to Dan. And any time that we saunter into talking about our penises too much, you will hear something like the following, which Dan will now play.
Oh, for fuck's sake, just stop talking about your willies.
Well, we got a problem because this episode, there's a lot of sex in this episode. And usually when you talk about sex, the first thing you talk about, at least me, is how my willy feels after or during or before sex.
So, why is there a lot of sex? Isn't this My Karma that we watched?
Yeah, but there's a baby being born.
That's not sexual. A baby being born is not sexual.
Elliot and Nurse Flowers do finally, and we find out. Yeah. You know what? Let's. How about this? 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know.
Want to just let's get this out of the way right away. I want to get this.
Okay, you feel like you're sort of revved up. You feel like you. I feel like you came to work today prepared. You got a little pep in your step, and you want to do this summary.
I want to do it now.
All right, well, let Daddy get out his timer.
Get that timer, Daddy.
Oh shit, that's the weirdest erection I've ever had.
For fuck's sake! No, enough. That's enough.
Sorry, Deb. Sorry, Deb.
What's happening?
You ready?
Okay. Yes, and go.
Karma's a bitch. Ta-da!
That's it?
That is it.
You just didn't fucking do your homework. Why don't you be honest?
I did do my homework. It's just that there's nothing really to this. This episode, I don't know, man. This episode, the only thing that really is that we talk about in this episode is how karma is a bitch. How it comes around and bites you in the ass. Like a dog would, you know what I mean? Turk, JD, Cox, Jordan, and Kelso all learned this lesson in the episode, you know? And that's really all there is to it. Even in the summary, at the end of the episode, it's pretty much that. You have something
to
say?
You know, when I was a child, my father would rate us how well we'd eaten off our dinner plate. And and when he was mad and grumpy, he'd go, "That's an F job. That is an F job." And I think I want to say to you right now, Donald, that is an F job.
Well, you know what? I take that. That's an honor for me because it's something that your dad used to say to you guys. And you know how much I love your dad. So, bam.
Yesterday was his birthday.
Oh, man. How are you?
I'm about to say for those of you who don't know, but why would you know? Although I have spoken about my father dying. My father has passed away, but of course, anyone who's lost a parent, you sometimes look down at the calendar and go, "Oh my God, it's his birthday!" And in fact, my calendar—he's still in my iCal thing, which puts up a reminder. And it came up yesterday. It was like, "It's Dad's birthday," and you know, I don't know what to say other than it stings a little. He would love this. This would be his favorite thing in the world. My father was my biggest champion.
Yeah.
And as you can imagine, he loved Donald Faison.
Oh,
like the fourth son he never had. And he would love more than anything us sitting around talking about Scrubs because he's such my champion. He loved Scrubs more than anyone.
I remember one of the last times I saw your dad, we were in Mexico, and he I sat down next to him. He said, "Okay, tell me everything. I just want to know. Tell me, what are you doing? Tell me everything."
Yeah. He was so, my father, you know, some people were like, so most people in our lives, I find, just, they go, "Hey, how's it going?" They don't really want a long answer. They just want, "Oh, good, good. How are you?" My father wanted the genuine long answer. He would go, "Okay, Donald, I saw you a year ago at Zach's birthday. Tell me everything that's happened since." And he would genuinely want to hear so it. He was so genuinely interested in people, you know?
Yeah,
I love that quality about him.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He loved you, man.
I loved him.
He loved coming to the set, and he everything I ever did, he came to. I did when I did the Broadway show, he came like 11 times. He loved it.
I remember when you got nominated for the Emmy for the first year, and we did that thing in the bathroom where we were pretending to rob Tony Shalhoub of his Emmy, and your dad played the bathroom attendant, and we shot it at Scrubs right before you went to the ceremony, because I guess we knew that the chances of you winning aren't going to be big. The chances of
Tony Shalhoub. You can't beat Shalhoub. You can't beat Shalhoub. Are you crazy? You think you're going to beat Shalhoub?
It was either him. It was something like that. We either robbed him, or it was Hugh Laurie or something like that. And we took his cane or some shit like that. And then we ran out of the bathroom. I remember if anyone out there has that thing, I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. Your dad played the bathroom attendant in that episode. And I feel like that was one of the first times. That's one of my first memories of your dad, actually.
I put my dad in Garden State, and I gave him a long monologue, and he kept messing it up. And I felt so bad because he was so, my dad was used to do community theater, or as they call it in England, amateur dramatics. But you know, he was always the lead in the local play. Come on in. Oh, hi. Hey, look who it is. Do you want to give another cooking tip to Donald? Yeah. Oh, she's gonna pour me some Sancerre in my champagne flute.
Hey, how
welcome
you doing?
Back.
How's
everyone doing?
Everyone's great. We're good over here. The pizza came out good, as you could see.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Did you like the oil?
I love the oil. The problem was I got to figure out a way to fuse the garlic into the olive oil. And I think maybe if I cook it, that'll help out.
Well, also, what you could do is instead of chopping it, did you do the grater tip?
No, I literally took olive oil and just dropped garlic into it.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
no.
So and then covered it and shook it.
No, I get you. So what you're going to do is you have obviously one of those big graters with like all the different levels.
Yeah.
So if you go onto the thin slice rather than what you do on Parmesan and you grate the garlic and put it in the oil and then mix it around, it will start kind of getting all good and juicy pretty much after 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
And that lasts actually for a week. So you could put that on your salads, on your garlic bread.
Okay.
So you'll be good with that.
This has been another edition of Flossie's Cooking Tip.
You look great.
I was going to say, Donald. Yeah,
give him another one.
Put some... Okay, so your next pizza, you're going to get some goat's cheese, the one that's not wet, but it's like in the tube, like the white tube.
Yeah.
And you're going to do that, and you're going to do your pesto oil, and then you're also going to put some Parma ham on it, and it will blow your mind.
What is Parma ham? That sounds delicious.
It's like, do you have ham on? Like a Spanish cut?
Yeah, I'm sure I could find it.
Yeah. Like strip that up, put that on your pizza with goat's cheese and some of your pesto and actually your garlic, and you'll have a fucking awesome pizza.
I can't wait. Like I made I made the sauce myself.
Yeah. Did you? I don't.
Yeah. So what I did was I took 10 tomatoes and I put some garlic into the tomatoes and then I blended it all up in a blender. And then I poured it over some heat in a pot. And then add some sugar and some salt and some vinegar. I did very little sugar, a lot of salt, a lot of vinegar. And that shit came out. Mwah. It was great.
Naughty.
Wow. Naughty,
that sounds naughty.
But this was all from all of this came from watching you that day. Just like, you are a natural, yo.
You were mesmerized.
Yeah. I was. You are a natural at cooking. I watch your when you do the Instagram stuff and you're chopping stuff up and you're about to cook. Yeah. I watch that stuff too, Flo. Keep it coming. Please keep it coming. As a matter of fact, okay,
No. I was doing it in a positive, all right. You were doing it in a quiet, not
well,
all right.
This has been another edition of Flo's Cooking Tips.
Nice.
All right. See,
that.
This podcast has something for everyone. Let's say you don't even like Scrubs. Well, you just got some pizza cooking tips.
Listen, that's not all she can cook, though. She can cook so many things. You're a very lucky, lucky man.
Yeah, I am very lucky, of course. It's idiotic. It makes absolutely no sense. I get it. People who write on the internet, why the hell is she with him? I get it. I don't understand it either. We were doing
it. Listen, as your best friend, you're a little bit above your pay grade right now, dude.
I know. Well, you don't have to join the people on the internet, Donald. You're supposed to be the... I honestly thought that was going to go the other way. Donald was going to say, you know, as your best friend, she's lucky to have you too.
And instead, No.
And instead he's like, as your best friend, yeah, you're hitting above your fucking pay grade right now.
But you'd say the same thing to me. You say that shit to me all the time about Case.
It makes absolutely no sense. I get it. Listen, she was helping with an audition the other day. It was a voiceover audition. And
she got the part and you didn't.
No, listen, this is my joke. I'm positive that's what's going to happen. It's an animated character. I'm not going to say any more because it's super top secret. But I love doing animated voices. And it's for a huge thing. And I'm like, babe, I need you to read with me. And she's like, all right, but tell me about like my character. I'm like, well, don't worry about your character. You're off camera. It wasn't being filmed. It was just audio. So it was like, normally if you're doing it, for those of you who don't know, if an actor's doing a video audition, your friend who's reading with you is behind the camera. You never even see them. But with an audio audition, it was like, we were kind of on the same playing field. So I was like, you know, trying to say in so many words, like, don't like upstage me with your fucking great acting. This audition is about me. Okay.
Right.
So your character can't be like great.
Right. Right.
So she starts playing. So she starts getting into character, and all little by little, I'm like, she's going to get part over me. They're going to be like, who was reading with him? Because that was fine. I mean, Zach was fine, but whoever was reading with him was amazing.
I think we all went out for the same part. Did you audition for?
Yes, that was it. You auditioned for that too?
Yeah, who didn't, man? That shit is everywhere, man.
All right. Well, I thought that I was one of an. I understand why you should definitely read for that part. We can't give away too many specifics, but I could actually even imagine you being way better at it than me.
I imagine
because of certain specific aspects of the character that you would do well.
Dude, you're perfect for it. And look, well, look, we're both. We both love.
No, said. Well, you beep that, Dan. We're both blank fans.
We're both.
Dude, I'm not trying to break an NDA before I even get the part. Anyway, Donald, I just want you to know that you know the audition now. You know the scene. And Flo was reading the other part in the scene. And I'm sitting here as a director being like, oh, fuck, she's good at this. And I'm like, everyone's just going to be listening to this, be asking about fucking her.
Dude, I totally get it.
All right,
totally
should we get in the episode, Donald? Let's get in the episode. These people came in for a Scrubs podcast. They're getting pizza podcast for free. They're getting Star Wars podcast for free. But they tuned in for a Scrubs podcast, Donald.
Okay, well, then let's start it off. Dude, I thought it was very funny that Nurse Roberts is at the diner with us. And
laughing at that, too.
That
Nurse Roberts has never socialized with us, never, ever.
Ever.
Why is she there?
Because she's best friend. She's best friends with Carla. But
no, because first, I said I'd buy.
No, I know, but that's what you said. You said, hey, it's on me. It's my treat. And then you're pissed off at her. And she's like, you said it was my treat. You didn't say it's my treat except for the lobster.
Yeah. And I go, I said no shellfish. Why? First of all, why is Nurse Roberts ordering? Who the fuck orders lobster at a diner?
A diner?
Like, come on, Nurse Roberts.
Dude, I went to
Nurse
a diner.
Roberts
with a
was like, Nurse Roberts was like, free food? I'll have the lobster. But Nurse Roberts, we're at a diner. That's fine. Lobster, please.
Lobster, please. You go to a diner, you get a burger, you get the freaking pancakes, you get the French toast, you get the eggs and bacon. Those are, you can't go wrong. But when you start ordering like the shepherd's pie and stuff like that, just know that it wasn't made that day.
I know.
It wasn't made at that moment.
I'm always amazed when, you know, when you go to a diner or some place that has like a menu that's like 10 pages long and you're like, how the fuck do they make all this stuff? Like Cheesecake Factory is one of those places. It's like a novel. The menu is a light novel, a novella. And you're like, how could they possibly make all this stuff? And then there's always that person that like orders like the fish. And you're like, right. I wouldn't be ordering the fish here. Oh, well, how are the scallops at IHOP?
Right. Cheesecake's good.
Y'all are wild.
All right, now, first of all, not only is Nurse Roberts there because she was going to get free food, but I'm sitting there with the woman I love is macking with her new boyfriend. And I wanted to ask you, do you think you could ever be out with your girlfriend's new ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend? I'm like, who does that?
Dude, I've been very lucky in my life for that to never happen to me. I saw it happen to a buddy of mine, and that shit, and I saw how it fucked him up. I don't want to say his name, but you were there too. And we were out, and somebody was out with us, and his ex-girlfriend was there, and we were like, let's bring her over. And he was like, please, no, don't you dare do it. He knows who it is. But I've been lucky. Like, you've gone out and run into ex-girlfriends of mine with their new boyfriends
That's always so awkward when it's like, hey, you. But I mean, I would never do what JD does in this. He allows himself to go sit in a diner booth with the woman he still clearly has feelings for and her new guy. And they're like making out at the diner booth. That sounds like fucking hell.
Yeah, and then he bests JD also in the freaking
he gives
the
a beautiful toast
and the toast and
JD
game.
And JD wipes a tear away.
Your father would say, "Yeah, right." Your father would have said to yours, "That's an F. That's an F."
Yeah, F job. Well, speaking of my father, he was very into public displays of not affection in terms of physical affection, in terms of. Going around the table and all saying something nice. Like if it was someone's birthday, like, let's all go around and say what we love about Donald. And some people are like really shy when that happens. They're like, oh no. But my father loved like, well, I'll start. And you know, just loved going around the table, all saying, you know, things about people. And in this scene, JD is so mad that Ricky Schroeder's there, and he says something like, I'm going to say something that only people that know Turk and Carla for a long time would really understand, but you guys rock. You do. And that's the extent of the speech.
Yeah.
And then he gets up, Nurse Flowers gets up and gives like a beautiful speech. And I just love how I like surreptitiously like swipe a tear.
And then go,
and then
lame.
I go, lame. and then I go, lame. And I go, this guy.
Right.
like what an asshole.
Great.
He's really good, Ricky.
Yeah, dude. He's freaking Rick Schroeder, dude. I mean, come on.
Let's talk about golf, Donald, because at 2:14, you have quite a golf swing on the roof of the hospital. And this was before you had an interest in golf.
Yeah, and, I wrote that down. My golf swing is actually pretty. My golf swing is pretty shitty in this episode. It's bad, and yours is too. But you know, I love
golf.
Now
you tell me to take a running start, as you say. I wrote it down. You said a lot of the better pros take a running start.
This is all. I think this is all from Happy Gilmore. I think all of our dialogue at this. Is from Happy Gilmore, and I'm doing the Carl Weathers dialogue from that movie when he's so Carl Weathers in Happy Gilmore is
saw Happy Gilmore.
It's a golf movie about a guy who's down
on
his Daniel, luck.
Daniel just looked really upset by that.
It's Apatow and Adam Sandler. So a lot of people don't know this. I know this just by luck. just by luck. But Judd and Adam are best friends from like college or some shit like that. And when Adam was coming up, he would be like, dude, check out my stuff. And he'd be like, oh, let me fix this for you, or let me help you out here. Like he does with all of his protege. He does that with Seth. He does it with Jason. He does it with all of them. You know what I mean? He's one of those cats that you go to that kind of helps you along the way. Yeah. And
he mentors people.
He's a great mentor. And Adam and Judd have a relationship that spans all the way back from when Adam was on MTV, from what I understand. Now, this is all somebody telling me this story. And so when Adam's making all these movies back in the day, he would bounce all of his ideas off of his best friend, Judd Apatow. If I'm wrong, Judd, Adam, please feel free to call in the Fake Doctors, Real Friends, and put me in my place. We would love it.
Listen, you've said it, and you've said it on the internet now, so I think that makes it true.
There it is.
I'm looking it up right now. It all plays. They moved in. They were old roommates.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, yeah, Don, you were not into golf at all. And in fact, you say in this episode, like, damn it, damn you, Tiger Woods. Why did I have to get into golf? But we have clubs and everything. Like, we have the gear. Why are we so bad?
That's golf. That's how it is. That literally is how it is. Your first, I mean, unless you have to invest in yourself and in golf to get really good at it. There's no way that you can come into golf and just be a really good player. That, you know, it took me a year to break 100. And after I broke 100, people were like, you're now in the 10th percentile of golf players. And then from breaking 100 to breaking 90 to breaking 80 to all of these things, it just gets smaller and smaller. There are very few people that are scratch golfers in the world.
What are you hitting these days?
So my handicap right now is 7.9. It was at one point. I got it all the way down to 6.6, which was really cool.
How are you on when they put sort of the obstacle things, like if there's a windmill or a loop-de-loop? Are you good at those?
I don't ever play that stuff anymore. When I was a kid, that was a great first date, but I don't ever go into
that. So you're saying, what you're telling me here, and this is probably this is new information for a lot of people listening, is that when you get into the bigger golf courses, there are no loop-de-loops or windmills?
No, there are no longer loop-de-loops and windmills.
I'm with Zach. Sounds considerably less fun.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I used to love it when my ball would go in the hole and then you'd go in the tube and you'd be like, where's it going to come out? Oh, shit. Where's the tube go? And then you'd be running down to look for where the tube came out. And then, you're telling me you're removing the most fun element of golf from the game. There's no secret tubes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, in the last hole in mini golf, when you get like a free game if you get it in the right hole? I once did that.
Yeah.
And it was thrilling. That's awesome. Bells went off.
Did you keep score?
Nice.
Yeah, I don't remember what I got, but it was probably a 7.9, I think, is what I got. Actually, I am recalling it was a 7.85. By the way, you know what would be a good product for us to invent? Would be a full, huggable plastic suit that you can put on to hug people during COVID. It's like the Michelin Man outfit. It's got like inflatable aspects to
it. It's like Marty McFly and Doc Brown in Back to the Future when they got the freaking nuclear, the hazmat suits on. We should make Fake Doctor, Real Friends hug hazmat suits for all of the populace.
And then we'll have to do a little disclaimer that's like, we are not responsible if you get COVID from using this thing and hugging people. Do you remember Do you remember when Dan came over to drop off the Funko Pop?
And he was hazmated out?
That's what we're going to wear.
Dan, I said it before and I'll say it again. Dan's a lot bigger than I thought he was. I thought Dan was going to be like 5'2".
Yeah.
He's like 6. He's like 6'1", Diesel.
Well, you've only seen Dan sitting.
Very true.
Dan looked like he could fuck somebody up. I'm going to give him 100. Dan looked like he could fuck somebody up. When I saw him, I was like, oh, Dan. Oh, shit.
Wow, I'm honored by that.
Should we take a break, Joel, or what?
Dan's
what are we doing
like the
here?
Sweetest person, probably.
Yeah,
all right, we're going to take a break.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey, listeners, it's been over a year since my family switched to our first Helix sleep mattress. And let me tell you, we've never slept better at my house. If you're still sleeping on an old school spring mattress, you're not getting your best night's sleep.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including their award-winning Lux and Ultra Premium Elite collections.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress, depending on the model.
Don't want to take my word for it? Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired Magazine.
Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends. That's helixsleep.com/realfriends. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know that feeling when you just have something you need to get off your chest? It's like a rain cloud following you around in your life.
People all carry around different stressors, big and small. Everyone has stress, but we all handle it differently.
When you keep your emotions bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
We talk all the time about how much therapy has benefited us.
Therapy isn't just for those who have experienced a major life trauma. Therapy can help everyone with daily challenges with friends, family, and other relationships.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should start with BetterHelp.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/realfriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/realfriends.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Let's get back into it.
One of the Bill's favorite lines he always quoted was, "Do not say splotchy. Good splotchy, Dr. Splotchy." When Ken comes in with his face all burnt.
Yeah, I thought he was amazing in this episode. This is a perfect example of a storyline in an episode it's like the D storyline in an episode, and it's so funny that you laugh at it the whole way through. From the beginning where he's talking about how the coffee sucks in the hospital and he has to go to the freaking coffee bucks across the street to get it, to it's spilling on his face, to "Hi, Dr. Splotchy," that line, all the way to the shit that fucking Johnny says to him, "Dark roast," and fucking like all of those things. This was one of the funny, I remember this storyline from when we recorded it, from when we shot it back in the day. And I always thought, if you're ever on a show and you have the opportunity to have something this funny and that least amount of work, like, you know what I mean? Ken had to work maybe 2 days, the whole episode, but his storyline is so funny and so good that it's memorable. You know, it's a win, dude.
Yeah, and everything, it's one of those things where it was the gift that kept on giving. Every time he showed up, there'd be another funny joke about it.
Yeah.
How about my Seinfeld impersonation where I go, "What's the deal with Q-tips? They're not Q's and they're not tips."
I loved it.
I know it's meant to be a horrible joke, but why couldn't the writers have come up with like an actual joke? Like, this is just like nothing. Like, you can, you know,
oh, wait,
you
hold
can
on.
Come up with a. With...
I'm confused. Are you trying to tell me that Seinfeld isn't funny?
No, I love Seinfeld. I'm saying that this joke that's a fake Seinfeld joke doesn't even make any sense. What's the deal with Q-tips? They're not Q's and they're not tips. There are great Seinfeld one-liners, like one of my favorites. If the black box is the only thing that survives a plane crash, why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box?
It's a great, great fucking joke, dude. Great joke. He has some of the best jokes that are, you know, it's like he took the simplicity of what it means to tell a joke, and he does it so well. He's one of the, in my opinion, I love Jerry Seinfeld. I think he's one of the best comedians out there.
Me too. You know, I'm just saying, I didn't know why they just didn't come up with a real joke. I guess it's supposed to be so not funny, and then they cut to the patient going, ba-doom-ts.
Right. I love Jerry Seinfeld. I think he's amazing. I think Jerry Seinfeld, like, when I was a kid, Bill Cosby himself was one of the dopest stand-up jump things that I had ever seen. And my parents would let me watch it because Bill Cosby didn't curse, right? And I feel like Jerry Seinfeld's one of those people that I can put my – you want to learn the algorithm of how to tell a joke and how to make it funny? I would play that documentary that he had back in the day. What was it, Comedian? Was that what it was called? Where he starts off doing, it's the anatomy of how he builds a set. And it's one of the greatest.
Well, I think that's when he like went back and like said, I'm going to do all new material.
Yeah, I'm going to start.
They did a documentary that followed him and other comics, but.
Chris Rock's in it, like a bunch of people.
Yeah, a lot of comics will always use some of their go-to jokes forever, whereas he was like, no, I'm going to throw out everything I've ever done, and I'm going to start from scratch, which was pretty cool. I like that documentary. Yeah, it is called Comedian.
Such a great storyteller he is, and I took offense just now when you said they were trying to make a bad joke, like as if Seinfeld told bad jokes. He tells great jokes.
Okay, well, I hope I didn't offend you, Donald. When I
no, I took I'm telling you right now, I took offense. I took offense.
Okay.
For him, for this New York native, for the dude whose show is based on the building I grew up in, I took offense.
Okay. Do you watch Cars and Coffee with Comedians?
I don't watch any of his work. I just took offense. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. I would like the record to reflect that Donald has never seen an episode of Seinfeld. He's never seen an episode of drinking coffee with comedians in cars.
I have seen episodes of Seinfeld. I have seen several episodes of Seinfeld.
I told someone the other night that you had only seen the finale of Breaking Bad, and they were like, they had to like sit down. They were so upset by this. They were like, who would do that?
I did. My wife binged the whole shit. She binged all of it. And I wouldn't watch any of it. She was like, you got to watch this show. It's so good. And she was doing it so she could be on time for the finale. Uh-huh. For the last season. So she watched everything within a 6 month span. She watched every episode of Breaking Bad just so she could watch the last season, right? I didn't watch any of it. I would walk into the room and I would see shit and I'd be like, that's overacting. Oh my God, he's overacting. And I would clown certain spots, knowing that, look, when you watch a show in its entirety, there's a reason why certain things are done. But when you just see little specific, you know, moments in it, you're lost, one, and two, you don't get what's going on, and so therefore you're very judgmental.
I had a very bizarre...
That last episode is one of the best things I've ever seen on television, and I've never watched one episode of Breaking Bad in my life.
The disconnect I have in my brain, and I'm sure every person who has at least one ear listening to this is thinking, then why would you not go back and watch the show many people think is one of the greatest of our lifetime?
Because I saw the end. I know how it ends. It's a waste of time to go back and see all that shit.
Oh, my God. All right. Listen, I watched the finale of Breaking Bad at Kate Hudson's house. She had a soiree where they were going to do a viewing party of the last episode. Now, in hindsight, I don't know why I went to this. If you love the show, you kind of just want to be like on your couch focusing. But I thought it sounded fun. Now, you know the guy who plays, Donald won't know, but you guys know the guy who played Hank, the bald cop, right? Wasn't his name Hank?
I think
Hank
so.
Schroeder. Hold
on. Thank his you. Neighbor.
Yeah,
his
look
neighbor
up,
and best friend, yes.
What's that actor's name? Anyway, the point is
Dean something.
Played
thank
by
you.
Dean Norris.
Yeah, Dean, I was right. Dean Norris. All right, so Dean Norris is a wonderful actor. With his head shaved, he looks a lot like Bruce Willis. If you've ever seen them next to each other, they could easily be brothers. So I get to Kate Hudson's house, and they've got TVs set up. You know, it's a party. There's multiple places within her house to watch the show. I want to pick a good location, so I find a good spot. And I look over, and then seated on the couch next to me is Dean Norris. And sitting next to Dean Norris is Bruce Willis.
Stop.
And there's not much more to the story other than that was really weird because they didn't know each other. It was clear they didn't know each other and they had just met. It was clear that they really, really look a lot alike. And then there we were watching this elaborate finale with Dean Norris sitting right there. It was very trippy. I wish the story had more of a flourish ending. And then I wrestled them both to the ground and tickled them.
Kate throws some dope parties, man. I've been to two parties at Kate Hudson's house, thanks to you. And both times I was like, holy shit, Leo's here? Best party of my life.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you would bring up, of all actors, Leo. I wonder.
Are you surprised?
I just wonder that of all actors that are in the Screen Actors Guild, you decided to bring up one actor specifically.
Well, you know, I love Leonardo DiCaprio. It's just how it goes. He's my favorite actor of my generation.
You know, a lot of the fans are clamoring for merch that says "I dock with Leo," and I think that's a great idea.
Nah, we gotta get. I'll call him and I'll if I could. I would call him and I'd get him to sign off on it. I know a lot of people, look, we used to be friends. We don't talk much anymore unless we see each other, but I would hit him up if I could and say, Leo, I want to put out a shirt or some merch that says a mug that says I would dock Leo. And
yeah. I'd wear a tank top that says I'd dock Leo.
Oh, for fuck's sake, just stop talking about your willies.
All right. Sorry, Deb. Sorry.
All right. Let's get back to the show. Who knew that Carla was scared of toilet snakes?
Yes. Carla is afraid of a snake crawling out of the toilet.
Have you seen the video of the dude who went to the bathroom and had to jump off the fucking toilet because there was a snake coming out of it?
No!
Go on.
You haven't seen this?
No.
Somewhere in Florida, of course.
Of course, of course.
There is a man who was sitting on the toilet and he jumped off the toilet because there is a snake literally coming out of the toilet, which means it's like a water moccasin or some shit like that that could really fucking do damage. Because, I don't know any other serpents that fucking swim. Like, I guess an anaconda swims, but it didn't look like an anaconda.
You're saying it came out of the toilet, like up the sewage?
Up the sewage, and it's coming out of this dude's toilet. Look it up. Look it up.
I will. I mean, a little tickle, if it was just a little, like, little tongue lick, it might feel nice. Just a little
who
tickle.
Doesn't like a tongue lick? But I'm thinking it's some type of poisonous serpent or some shit like that that will bite that'll bite you.
How about Elliot calling herself Four Date Reed, which means she waits until the fourth date to have sex with everyone?
She says. How about that Elliot admitting the fact that she's crazy? She says to Carla, "Carla, you know that I'm crazy, right?" And she goes, "Yeah." She goes, "I'm having a hard time hiding it from Nurse Flowers."
Yeah. Well, later in the episode, she has a really funny monologue that she just did a great. It was written very well. It was funny, but she just delivered it really funny about how fucking nuts she is, and then she's just finally she says to Rick Schroeder, like, "You want to know? This is why I'm hiding." And he just lets all her fucking crazy loose, and it's really, really funny. And then Rick Schroeder's like, "I'm so turned on right now." And then they go and like furiously make out. That was funny.
Do you know why he's so turned on?
Why?
Because crazy is good. It gets old quick, but it's good in the beginning. If you can find yourself somebody crazy in the beginning, you're like, "Holy shit, we were doing so many crazy things."
And then, oh, you mean crazy old. Sexually, or do you mean crazy like a crazy person? You mean crazy in bed?
I mean crazy sexual. So what happens is crazy person usually means crazy sexually. And so from crazy sexually, you're like, "Holy shit, look at all the things we're doing." But here's the thing. Crazy gets old real quick, because at some point you're like, "Yo, this person's fucking crazy."
Yeah, but also, don't you worry sometimes if someone's too nuts in bed that you're a little like, Jesus, they've got 10,000 hours.
Who gives a fuck? Who cares? They're with you at that moment. Who cares? Who cares? Dude, who the fuck cares what happened before you and what's going to happen after you? This was something I was hung up on for so long. "Oh my God, she's too experienced," or, "Oh my God, she's not experienced enough." Fuck that shit. When you're with someone, you're with someone, and that's your moment together. What happens before and after is irrelevant, dude. It has nothing to do with you, so why worry about it?
All right. Well, I think that's good advice for people. I'm sure there's other people out there who's crossed their mind when their partner all of a sudden is doing some position that not even the Kama Sutra had time to draw, that they're like, "Then where did this come from?"
That's your own hang-up. Honest to goodness, that's your own hang-up. If what I do is too advanced for you and you're not having a good time, then you know what? We shouldn't be together, and vice versa.
Your love might be too much for me. It might be like a double black diamond sex, and I'm just ready for blue square.
Is there such thing as a blue square? Is that?
Yeah.
Is that
it goes green? It goes green circle, blue square, black diamond, double black diamond.
Got it.
And I'm just saying, you know, you might be a blue square person in bed, and then all of a sudden you're in bed with a double black diamond person. You're like, "Oh shit, this is scary. These moguls are hard." I don't know how to keep this metaphor
going. You ain't
going
to die. You get the idea. Listen, yeah. did someone die? As long as you don't die, it's all good, right? If you survive a double black diamond, you're like, "I'm going to do that double black diamond again."
Right. As long as you don't die.
You survived.
Right. As long as you survive.
Donald, why do golf clubs need socks? I've been dying to know this my whole life. Why do you have to put little booties on them? Are they get cold?
No, it's just that dents and things like that happen to clubs, and scratches happen to clubs. And, you know, it's all about what you see when you look down at the ball and the club. So if there's a dent or a scratch on your club, it might throw your alignment off. It might,
when
I first started playing golf, I didn't understand why all these people had socks on their clubs. But it's actually to keep the shit looking so much, you're used to a certain picture when you're playing golf and you're looking down at a golf ball and your driver or your three wood or your hybrid club, you're used to a certain picture. If there's a scratch on it, that might throw off your swing. If there's a dent in it, that might throw off your swing. So it's important to take care of your clubs.
When I first
started playing golf, I was like, "That's bullshit." Until it happens to you, and then you're like, "Oh, okay, I get it now."
But Donald, excuse me for not knowing if this is true, but it seems to me only certain clubs get little dinky cozy socks. Not all the clubs get them.
Right, because there are certain, like, your irons usually can handle clinking against each other. Your one wood. Well, that's more like a driver. Your one wood is a driver, but like your drivers and your woods, if they get a dent on them, they're not as effective as they would be if they were in good condition. So you want to keep those in pristine shape. You want to keep all of your clubs. If you paid $1,000, like, them things ain't cheap. Like, usually you pay like $1,000 for clubs, upward of $1,000 for clubs. And so you want to maintain that investment. You want to keep
for
that
all
investment.
Of your clubs or one club?
For all of your clubs. So like you go from putter to driver, you're spending upwards of $1,000 usually. There are some people, there are some manufacturers that make clubs that are like I'm very lucky. I am down with PXG, and that's like the ultimate club in golf, if, in my opinion. They are the dopest of the dopest. And because of that, you damn right, I protect that shit. I protect my driver. I protect my three wood. I protect my hybrids. I protect that.
You know, Donald, you might want to change where you're playing, because where I play, they give you a club and you don't have to take care of it. You just pick one that's the right size for you. And you
right,
just
but
play
you
the
also
whole
play
course.
Where they got windmills. You also play where they got windmills and freaking. Yeah.
There's no extra charge
clowns.
For the windmill. There's no extra charge for the windmill.
And there are snacks.
Right. Well, there's snacks. All there's right. snacks at real golf courses. We got
to
go to break. Let's go to break.
We gotta be right back after this break.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey, listeners, it's been over a year since my family switched to our first Helix sleep mattress. And let me tell you, we've never slept better at my house. If you're still sleeping on an old school spring mattress, you're not getting your best night's sleep.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including their award-winning Lux and Ultra Premium Elite collections.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress, depending on the model.
Don't want to take my word for it? Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine.
Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends. That's helixsleep.com/realfriends. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval terms apply. Tecovas are one of my favorite boot brands. They're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage boot making. So they've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality you find in a great pair of cowboy boots. But they've made some innovations in comfort, style, and service.
These boots are Austin designed, Texas tested, and handmade down in the boot making capital of the world, Leon, Mexico.
Whenever I slip on my Tecovas boots, I feel the cowboy magic, Donald. They're tough enough for getting dirty, but classic and stylish enough for a night out on the town.
If you ever wonder if you can pull off cowboy boots, you should pull on a pair of Tecovas. You'll see. They'll become your new favorite footwear. Cowboys knew what they were doing when they invented Western wear. If you can't make it into a store, Tecovas delivers the most premium quality and most comfortable Western goods right to your door. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. And point your toes west.
As a special opportunity for our listeners, Tecovas has said they will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps for free into any minimum purchase of $100 on Tecovas.com. Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's R-E-A-L-F-R-I-E-N-D-S. FRIENDS. It's about a $30 value and they sell fast, so there are always new styles and looks. Again, for a limited time, just enter code REALFRIENDS at checkout to add a free logo hat to your order as a one-time gift from Tecovas. Only at Tecovas.com.
And we're back!
Hi there.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, we have Nicholas Solis!
Hi, Nicholas.
Hey! How are you doing?
How are you? We're good wonderful. To see you, sir. Welcome.
I am loving your COVID beard and hair.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, it's getting longer and longer. The beard I have to keep. My wife said she'll leave me if I ever get rid of it. So
you must look like a baby without it.
I do.
I'm so nervous.
I'm so sorry.
Don't be nervous. This is you're just Why sitting you around sleep- talking with a couple friends. They got Joelle and Daniel here. That's Donald.
Why are you sleep deprived? What is going on? And do you
what's
have
going on?
Are those action figures in your background or no?
Yeah, some of them are. There's Godzilla, there's a dog. I got them on some travels, and then there's just a bunch of mess. My wife and I are both teachers, so this is our teacher shelves. Wow. We're teaching from home, and so we have to switch in and out to teach right now because we're all doing virtual. I'll show you the reason I'm sleep-deprived. Let's see if he's still awake.
Oh, here comes a baby, y'all. Aww.
It's going to be a baby, little baby. It's going to be a baby, y'all, or a puppy.
It better be a baby. It better not. Oh, hey, Morgan. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Morgan and the baby.
You guys are the most precious baby angel. Oh,
hello, cutie. Oh, my
gosh. He's so cute.
He's Liam. he's our angel. He's a little going back on sleep regression right now. So we're trying to see if we can get him back to sleep at some point. So he's been staying up a lot of nights and stuff. And so.
Oh, well, congratulations. That's very exciting.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's just been an exciting week overall. So I'm super happy. Can I do one thing right now?
Anything right. You want.
Yes.
Well, he knocked over the chair,
God,
first
over?
Of all.
Oh, Jesus.
Are you okay?
I fell over.
Are you okay, dude?
Nicholas may or may not be
no
happy.
No one can see me. I am
Nicholas, don't die, dude. Don't die, dude.
I told you I was nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Okay. You guys know how you do it. Oh! And then I wrote, the day after that, I wrote, one, ask a question on Fake Doctor's Real Friend.
And it happened.
Oh my God.
And it
thunderous
happened.
Applause. Thunderous applause, Dan. Turn your key, Donald.
Turn your key.
I turned my key. Nicholas has held up a whiteboard, and it says goals at the top because we did a segment talking about whiteboards and writing down your goals. And the very first thing on his goal list is ask a question on Fake Doctors, Real Friends, and it is beautifully then, crossed out.
And then after that, it's win a dance battle. Dude.
Yep.
We can make that happen today, too.
Yeah.
But you better know how to dance.
I can't take it. Okay. It's done. I'm not going to win that one right now.
Well, I'm really happy for you, man. And we're, you know, we joke around 99% of the time here, but I'm really believe in this stuff. I really believe in writing your goals down and manifesting things and looking at it every single day. And I've seen a handful of people out there who sent me sort of jokey, or maybe they're not joking, screenshots of the whiteboard they got, and I really am a big fan of it. I think that there's you know looking at something every day, even if it's going into your brain subconsciously and going, God, what have I done today to further that goal? I think it's very, very effective. So I listen, Nicholas, you're walking proof. It works. Here you are on the show.
I know it's so exciting. Yeah, I totally believe it. I tell my students that I try to put a lot of positivity in the world, and I try to do positive stuff. And so I just also try to think positive thoughts. So I'm like, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, but I'm going to keep on trying. And so I've sent Joelle a few emails, and this is the one that got picked. So I was like, hey, it worked. So I'm super excited.
Good.
Right on.
Well, you made me happy. I just, the fact that we can make a minuscule difference in your life in any way makes us happy.
Wait, hold up. I have a random question for Nicholas.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched Eight is Enough?
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but I've seen it.
Do you remember Nicholas from Eight is Enough?
Yeah, he was
so cute.
He's the cute one, yeah.
What, he
the
was
bowl
like,
haircut.
The bowl haircut. He was like Joey Lawrence. Joey Lawrence was Joey and everything. I feel like Nicholas was Nicholas and everything. This is just a non sequitur moment. A non sequitur moment for me.
Yeah, but Joey Lawrence really always played Joey. And I always wondered, why does he have it in his contract that the character is going to be named Joey? The guy never played anyone not named Joey.
Apparently,
Tony Danza did that too. Tony was always Tony in almost every show that he ever did.
Even on Taxi?
Yeah, Taxi. Then it was Tony in Who's the Boss? And then he was Tony. He just came out with another Netflix show a little while ago. He was always Tony in every show.
All right, Nicholas, do you have a question for any of us? It could be about any topic in the world.
I have a question, and then I also have a fix-it for your fix.
Yes, good.
Don't worry. Good. We're excited to fix your life. We're going to fix
good.
Your
we're
life.
Gonna we can fix anything.
You got a new baby, a beautiful this, wife. We're going to fix your life.
This new segment, a lot of new segments hitting the show, Donald. But fix-it, I think, is the world's favorite. Everyone is clamoring about all the fixing we're doing.
They want me to fix their life, and they want you to fix
yes.
their life.
Well, we're going to do it. All right, Nicholas, question first. Go ahead.
Okay. Question first. And this is one that that was really hit home. I was trying to think of a lot of shows before y'all's that had, like, two male characters that were very open with their emotions and so loving. And I remember, like, I had a roommate. We lived together forever. We, like, that was what we did. We were just very open and loving. I remember there wasn't this, like, toxic masculinity where you had to be, you know, rah, rah, rah all the time. And it was just like, I really thought like Scrubs spoke to me. And I think the more I watched it, the more seeing y'all's friendship, it was, for me, it was a way to just kind of be like, oh, I can be open with my feelings and I can say, I love you. And even now, like as you know, growing up and raising my son, that's something I want too. I want this openness. And I don't like, you guys have talked about it a lot, but even in the first season, there was a lot more openness, even before y'all had built a lot of chemistry and stuff outside of the show. So I didn't know, like, did Bill bring that in or did he just build off because y'all just instantly connected? Like, how did that happen?
I don't know how that happened. That's a good question because
I think it was both of us, two things happening simultaneously. It was my and Donald's friendship really growing and becoming really true best friends in real life. And then we were so like that I think that he started to lean it even more in that direction.
I feel like it was always JD and Turk were always meant to be the relationship that every guy wishes they could have with another male. But Zach and I, we became that relationship. And then it was like, well, then I know, let's go even further with it. You know what I mean? I don't know how to, I don't know how that happened. That's a great question because it started off that way. And then we just ate it up and took it to the next level, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think if you look at the pilot, there's not a whole lot of like commentary on masculinity. I mean, my character's a little nerdy, but it's more about like, about me and Donald being best bros. And there's stuff about like race. There's stuff about like, hey, if there's a rap song and the N-word's in there, am I allowed to sing it? And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay, good. I needed to know that. Thank you very much. So I think Bill wanted to like talk about two close friends who were best buds and race barely even came into the equation. But I think this sort of commentary we started doing on what is traditional masculinity sort of developed over time with me and Donald's relationship.
I really liked it. I mean, it was very freeing, I guess. And I couldn't think of any other show before y'all's that had that type of relationship. It was like, you know, you think of all these ones and it's just two dudes hanging out, drinking beer, stuff along those lines. But this felt very like an authentic friendship. And I mean, it was, but it was just, I really enjoyed that. So thank you for that.
Nicholas, I agree with you on that because on television, you don't see it, but in real life, that is how guys are. You know what I mean? I remember my best friend in high school. He's also an actor now. My best friend in high school was Dash Myhawk, right? Him and this other kid, Kevin Jordan. But Dash Myhawk, who is now on Ray Donovan and has been in several movies and stuff like that, he and I were best friends in high school. And we both moved to Los Angeles at the same time. And I remember one time seeing him and his roommate, who just happened to be Josh Hopkins, who was on one of Bill's shows.
Cougar Town.
Cougar Town. And I saw them act the way Zach and I act towards each other. And it was like, oh, Zach and I aren't, you know, we're not, obviously we're one of a kind because we're who we are, but this relationship is out there. There are plenty of people out there that are like Turk and JD, that are like Zach and Donald. Now, I hate to talk about myself in the third person. I apologize for that. But
I love it.
But there are a bunch of people out there that are like that. It's just not portrayed on television in the positive way that Zach and I were able to portray Turk and JD. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And so
but I really like, but I really like that you said that that's going to, I don't mean to imply that it was from watching us, but the way you said, talked about wanting to raise your son, you know, not programming him to be filled with the same bullshit that a lot of us were programmed with,
right? Yeah, absolutely.
It's like the same. Like I didn't drink beer till I was 26. I was always drinking apple teenies, and I was drinking, you know, these, and like everybody gave me a hard time for it. But I was like, well, Zach's doing it. Like I can do it too. Like it just, it was very freeing, and I loved it. And I was just, I don't know. I really did appreciate that, especially growing up, because it meant I could be more open with the people around me and stuff. And now, you know, you're older and you're set in your ways. And you're like, yeah, this is just who I am. I'm okay. But when you're younger, it's kind of hard to be as open as I think a lot of people want to be.
Yeah, because you're judged. You're judged. And other people's judgment has an effect on you, which it shouldn't. You know what I mean? And when you become an adult and you realize that, you know, everybody else is dealing with their own shit and you need to deal with your own. Who gives a fuck what everybody thinks about
it? It really warms my heart, though. I got to tell you, when you say something like that, that the show in some way inspired you to be more who you truly are, whatever that is. I mean, I think that's what we're all striving for, is to be in relationships that allow us to be who we truly are. Yeah. And, you know, we were just at the time making a comedy, but then we did kind of tiptoe into something cultural about masculinity and talking about what is acceptable in our society. And this was 20 years ago. As we all know, we're still battling a lot of these issues, you know, in 2020.
That's crazy.
All right, now how can we fix your life? Because that's what we're really good at. That's where our specialty is.
Nicholas, I'm going to fix your life right now.
Well, you're the one number five. It says sleep more. Baby boy is going through a sleep regression right now. And yeah. I wanted to know, Donald, you have so many children. I was wondering, do you have any tips on like methods for sleep training and how to get him to sleep more at night?
Okay. First of all, how old is your kid?
He's 3 months, 3 and a half. He's about to be 4. And the books say that this is about the time when you start doing it.
Right. So you're trying to sleep train right now, right?
Yeah. I think we're going to start this weekend because he's been staying up most nights for these last few nights.
So when the baby starts crying, you kind of have to ignore it. It is very heartbreaking, but you kind of have to ignore it and trust that the baby will put himself back to sleep
and soothe himself. How long do you have to wait while the baby's screaming? I mean, that must be really hard for people.
You know when there's a problem. You know what I mean? You know if it's, here's the thing, you have a healthy baby, right? Am I correct in saying that?
Correct.
So you know when there is a problem. Right now, it's just like every kid out there in the world, at a very young age, you're being tested to see if you will jump when called for. I promise you what I'm telling you is true, dude. Listen, we were very lucky, and we hired a night nurse and all of that stuff. And then and the night nurse explained to us the whole situation too. It really is you being able to say, I know you're crying. I know you want me right now. Sort this out for yourself, you know? And, you know, if your baby's crying for over an hour, then yes, obviously run into the room. 45 minutes, obviously run into the room and see what's going on. But most likely, it's not going to last for more than 15 to 20 minutes, and then they're going to go back to sleep.
All right, we'll give it a shot.
All right, Nicholas, do you think we've fixed your life?
Yeah, we're going to see.
Thunderous applause, Dan. I think we did it.
Nicholas, it doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take some time.
I'm just gonna say that. Fixed his life, Donald. Stop fucking up the segment. It fucking worked. Okay.
You're welcome. Nicholas, you're welcome.
Nicholas, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you guys so much for fixing my life. And
thank you, Nicholas. Good luck with the baby, Nicholas.
Good luck.
Bye, buddy.
I'm sorry. Bye. Sorry, I fell out of my chair.
Bye. No, you're amazing. Best thing ever. I'll always remember Nicholas. I'll always remember it. Nicholas should put on that whiteboard, learn not to fall out of chair. What a nice man.
Balance.
Speaking of babies, JD fights a demon baby in this episode.
That was funny when he fights the demon baby, huh?
Not only was it demon baby, it was a demon baby doll. Because the baby didn't move. And it looks like you're holding the baby.
No, it was so bad. But it was I think the badness of it made it even funnier. That I'm like running, I'm like, and then I fall out of frame with it. Oh my God, I had a field day with that fake baby. Hey, guess what? This is the very first episode where the janitor meets Turk.
I was about to say that Turk and the janitor finally meet for the first time. And the janitor says to Turk, I don't care. He's like, what's your name? He's like, I am Turk.
Who are you? By the way, you're so excited to meet him. I mean, JD must have told you about this janitor. And you're like, I'm Dr. Turk. You've got like a smile on your face. Like, Dr. Turk. He's like, I don't care. Now, I know
when he's doing the with the fist and he punches me and I laugh I laugh the whole time.
You can see, if you go back and watch, you guys, you can see that Donald is fucking holding in his laughter at that. You thought Neil was hilarious in that moment.
Well,
and then
this was my first time working with Neil on a show.
Yeah. That scene in the office with Ted, the lawyer, our Sam Lloyd, is hilarious. I really laughed out loud at that.
Very funny.
We go in and we tell him, hey, he goes, hey, fellas, always nice to have some visitors. What's the dealio? And we're like, Ted, if two doctors were hitting golf balls off the roof and they caused a car accident and now the guy's in the ICU, would that be a big problem? And there's like a long pause and he's just frozen. And we go, Ted? And he goes, hey, Ted, fellas, okay? Always nice to have visitors. What's the dealio? Like, he just totally, he totally went into like a dark hole. And then I laughed when you put out your fist and you put out your fist to fist bump him and then he slaps it like he's slapping you five.
Yeah. It's always great to watch him at the end of the episode when he's on the roof with the Todd and he's hitting golf balls off the roof. He's like, where did I get the idea to hit golf balls off the roof? And Todd's like, yeah, man. Hey, do you mind if I strip down to the banana hammock?
Yeah.
And he looks back at him and he's like, oh God. And he's about to hit the golf ball.
Why is Todd sunbathing? Why does he feel the need to get into the fucking fire covered banana hammock at this moment?
This isn't the traditional fire. This isn't the traditional one either. It's a little different. It doesn't look the same. It's not as flammable.
It had flames on it, but it had flames on it.
But it wasn't as flame on as the real Todd one.
The fire is burning lower on his banana hammock?
On his banana hammock in this episode. That's a good thing. We should bring Todd in right now. Todd, Todd. Let's ask Rob. Here's a great moment to ask
Todd
Rob.
Todd Talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Todd Talk. Rob, the Todd has had several banana hammocks. What was the most comfortable for you?
And is it us, or if you don't mind referencing the one in that you wear at the end of My Karma, why does that banana hammock feel slightly different from some of your other more notorious banana hammocks? And feel free not to write this in a long prepared paragraph.
Or feel free to write this in a long prepared paragraph.
whatever you prefer.
Whatever you want.
Todd Talks. Comfortable? The Todd hammock's up for the people. Comfort is of no importance. Now, after season 2, episode 1, with the premiere of the banana hammock in Mirror Todd, it made a big impression. There's a lot of talk, a lot of scuttlebutt, and I think they wanted to tone it down, tamp it down, tape it down, but you can't keep the big dog down. In this episode, My Karma, that was no banana hammock. It was a Speedo. I should swim the 100-meter freestyle in the Olympics in that thing. Never again, 5.
And please, if you're listening to this, hire Rob on Cameo. You can send your Scrubs friends messages from the Todd.
He just had a birthday, guys. He just had a birthday. He turned.
I know. I put him on my Insta. 53, I think.
I think it was 53 or 54. One or the other.
Yeah, it looks good. Look,
He looks real good, man. I'm telling you. That when we were doing the show, he would always joke that he was much older than us. And he was. He really was.
Yeah, but he looks good. He's got nice skin.
Great skin.
You know, the episode really is about, I felt at the end, was about vulnerability, about putting yourself out there, being afraid of how you're going to be judged. Several characters are afraid of being vulnerable. And I just thought that was another theme that crept up for me. I wrote down vulnerability in relationships and how we're all wearing this armor to protect our hearts. But the characters in this episode are going out of their way to put themselves out there and be brave.
I wish I would have thought of that when I was doing the recap of the show.
Well, your recap was so thorough. It was so incredibly thorough. I don't know where you would have had time in the 30 seconds to do that. All right, everybody. That's our show. Donald, anything else you want to tell the people?
Yes, I do want to tell all the frontline workers still to this at this moment right now, we still want to shout you out and give you all the love we possibly can. And I don't just mean the frontline workers in the hospitals. I mean the frontline workers that work at supermarkets, that work at testing sites, the frontline workers that are out there, the essential job people that are out there in the streets right now. You are living a life that a lot of people are afraid to live. And I respect you and I support you from my closet right now because I am afraid to do those things. So that being said, God bless you and I support you 100%.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. Tell your friends about the show because you might be loving the show, but you're not telling all your friends. Why aren't you saying, dear so-and-so? Again, you'll put your friend's name there unless their name is so-and-so. Why aren't you listening to the podcast? It's getting more bad shit every week. You got to check this thing out. Rate the show. Subscribe to the show. Follow Joelle and Daniel on Twitter. We love you guys. We'll see you next time.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. Hey guys, I've been telling you about how we are big fans of Tecovas boots. Heritage, tradition, quality, comfort, style, and service are some of the best features of Tecovas. But now they also have a gift for our listeners.
Tecovas will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps free with a minimum purchase of $100 at tecovas.com.
Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's REALFRIENDS.
That's TECOVAS.com and point your toes west.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.